Our text for this morning comes from Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And Solomon here writes this passage that is so poetical. As we were reading in unison, it just had a rhythm to it. And it was such a blessing. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. And a time to mourn and a time to dance. It flows just like poetry. And the truth is that as we read this, we recognize that God is revealing to us that the time of our existence on earth is flooded with changes. So there is a time that we're going through prosperity, and then there's a time that we're going through want. There's a time when we're going through joy and elation, and then there's a time that we're going through grief. And the conditions of human life are vastly different from one another, but yet they occur at the same time all around us with no constraint. And we're constantly passing between and among these variations in life. And the truth is, there is no possibility of stopping any of this. It's not like we are on a merry-go-round where we can ask the person controlling the machine to pull the lever and have it stop. Life just continues to go and move. And so these extremes go through their revolutions daily and weekly and yearly. And we must therefore take things as they come, because it's outside of our power to change any of it. And when I look at this, I think of the seasons of life. Now, when we hear that word seasons, we think of spring, summer, autumn, and winter. It's just natural. Last weekend, when we were on the road, we got as far as Frederick, Maryland, and it was 56 degrees. Now, don't get me wrong. I love living in Florida. But when we lived up north, we enjoyed the change of seasons. I remember that we had certain practices and habits as we enjoyed the changes of the seasons. I think of the gradual warming up and explosion of the flowers in the spring, and the lush greenery in the summer, and the refreshing waters of the ocean. You can't swim in the ocean in the winter, but in the summer you can. And then there was the breathtaking beauty of the autumn colors, because we lived at the foot of the Appalachian Mountains. And we could see the gradual change with the yellows and then the reds and then the bright oranges. And then my wife and I had a tradition that the first night of the first snowfall, we would walk around the neighborhood. And you know how it is when it snows and it's on the ground and you're walking, you hear a little bit of a crunching. And then we'd look back and we'd see our footprints in the snow. And we enjoyed that. Well, that ain't going to happen here in Florida. But as I thought about that in light of this passage, it began to occur to me that within the midst of this beauty that I've just described, there are negatives. Because in the springtime, there is rain and allergies. And then in the summertime, there is a sweltering humidity and the bugs and the mosquitoes. And then in the fall, you have the incessant leaves that won't stop leaving the trees. You have to be raking. And then the wintertime, the shoveling of the snow and the chipping ice from off the windshield when you have to go to work early in the morning. So even though each season has its beauty, it brings with it a negative factor, a negative aspect. And so Solomon reminds us in this passage that our lives move persistently like the seasons of life. And in order for us to make sense of this all, we've got to view it through these eyes, through these lenses. You aren't where you were, and you won't always be where you are now. You aren't where you were, and you won't always be where you are right now. And in God's purpose, all the seasons of my life and your life are leading us somewhere beautiful if we know the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them who are called according to his purpose." So many of us miss out on the blessings of the present because it's not ideal. It's painful. It's frustrating. It's depressing. So we spend our energies wishing that we could go back to the good old days. Or we look to the future when everything is going to change because my ship is going to come in. But folks, this morning I want to share with you the fact that there are blessings in our present, no matter how difficult it is. Blessings that are sometimes subtle, sometimes glaring, but blessings nonetheless. And so for the next few minutes, I want to speak to you on this subject and introduce to you three truths about the seasons of life that will help us as we manage life. Because life is not easy. You have some young people that cannot make that transition from childhood to adulthood because adulthood is so hard. And we tend to shield our children from adult pain because they don't have that coping mechanism. And so we need to ask God for wisdom to help our children to get to the place where when life gets difficult, they have that coping mechanism because life is not easy. And so the title of my message is Cherish Now. Cherish Now. The first truth I want to bring is this. Every season has its burdens. Jesus said when he was on earth, "In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In me you will have peace." Met a lady in the parking lot this morning, sweet lady. Didn't get her name, but she said she was here visiting because her niece had passed and had gone to be with the Lord. But as she spoke, I sensed that God had given her his peace. "My peace have I given unto you, not as the world giveth, but as I giveth. Let not your heart be troubled." And so it was testimony to my wife and I as we spoke to this lady that she was experiencing the peace of God in the midst of grief. Life, with its blessings and its burdens coexisting with one another and overlaying one another, and we are meandering through life, experiencing both sometimes at the same time. Sorrow and joy are sometimes not separated from one another. And they very often cohabit with one another. Years ago, you all went through that difficult time with us when we lost our granddaughter. And it was tough. But God blessed our daughter with another daughter. And she's 2 years old now. And so when I see her, I can't look upon her beauty and her health without thinking of her little sister. So there is intense grief and perplexity coexisting with unbridled joy and gratitude. That's how life is. And that's why Solomon wrote this the way he did. Because they're happening at the same time. We are seeing in our text that Solomon bounces back and forth between positive and negative. Listen to some of the negatives. Die, kill, break down, weep, mourn, lose, rend, hate, war. What he's saying is that as we go through life, we need to make sure that we're aware of the fact that sometimes there are going to be hardships. We live in a fallen world, you see, and even though we understand and experience the grace of God, it doesn't change the fact that this world is fallen and broken. But I look forward to the day when we're living in the new heaven and the new earth, and the Bible says that all tears will be wiped away. What a glorious time that's going to be. That's what God wanted from the very beginning. But whereas by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. One act of disobedience changed the whole thing. And so human beings are now born with a sinful nature. And because God is pure and holy, he cannot live in the midst of sin. So we are separated from God when we are born. But then from chapter 3 of Genesis, he created this plan of salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. And even from then, he knew that he was going to send the Lord Jesus into this world to take all our sins upon himself and die in our place, be separated from God for the first time in eternity, and then be buried and rise again so that we could have eternal life. But it's not automatic. We have to exercise our free will and accept the Lord as Savior. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So we've got to guard against this feeling of, you know, my right now, my now stinks. My now is terrible. I wish I could change everything. Years ago, they used to have this song. You can't hide from yourself. Wherever you go, there you are. And usually, the problem is really right here with us. I wish I could be 22 again. But then when I look back at 22, I was in the depths of sin. Why would I want to go back at 22? But the reason I say I wish I was 22 again, it means that I could play soccer and play cricket and play tennis and run and no pains. You don't get up in the morning with pains. You know, once you get to a certain age, we're all universal. We get up from the table after we've been eating and we kind of move the chair and reposition it. What we're really doing is warming up. Because if we just get up from the chair, we're going to be doing this, you know. But once we warm up, we're pretty good. So we get out of the car and we kind of look in the window because it's dark, and we fix our glasses and fix our... Well, what we're doing is warming up. You don't believe me? Sit in the parking lot and watch. But listen, we're all in this together, amen? And those of you young people laughing at me, don't worry, you're going to get there one day. Can't stop it. So what we have to do is say, Lord, help me to embrace the burdens of now. And through these difficulties and through these burdens, I pray that you will grow me and mature me and equip me for the purpose that you have for me in this life. Every season has its burden. And then secondly, every season has its beauty. Listen to the positives. Born, plant, pluck up, heal, build, laugh, dance, gather, embrace, get, keep, sow, speak, love, peace. What a blessing just to hear those words. Someone would say, you really don't know my life. If you knew my life, you wouldn't speak like this. Well, keep in mind that it's not you speaking, it's the Word of God. I want to introduce you to a young man. His name is Michael Melamed. He's from Venezuela. And I knew that I would not be able to use words alone to describe this man. And so I've asked the guys in the media department to help me with this. Michael is a marathon runner. And he ran in the Boston Marathon. He's run in several marathons. But he ran in the Boston Marathon, and he started on Monday morning, April 20th, at 9 o'clock in the morning. 26.2 miles. And he ended the race at 5 o'clock on Tuesday morning. Started with thousands of other runners. But ended the marathon by himself, running by himself. Thank you. You know, they say that a picture is worth 1,000 words, a video is worth 1,000,000. I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I wouldn't even attempt to do that. So sometimes we have to look in our life and recognize that God is saying to us, child, for this purpose you were born, when we're going through difficulties. When we trust the Lord and wait upon him and understand that he has made our life the way it is, even right now, then we don't miss out on the blessings of now. One of the most precious and encouraging verses in the Bible to me is in 1 Kings chapter 12. I'll read it in a minute, but the background is that Rehoboam the king was running from running to Jerusalem because he was afraid of Jeroboam. And he was preparing to go to war. And God said to him, don't go. Stay calm in your house. This thing is from me. And because of that, Jeremiah went back home and stayed in peace. And war was averted. And I have circled that in my Bible. This thing is from me. There is nothing that happens in our life that God has not orchestrated. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Zechariah 20 or 2 verse 8, he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of my eye. And Isaiah 43 verse 4, you are very precious in my sight. So we have a choice. We can either resist the seasons or we can cooperate with the seasons. And as we cooperate, we have to trust the sovereignty of God. Sovereignty means that God is all powerful. He has all authority and he has control over everything. And then we have to trust the character of God. He's perfect. He loves us with a love that we'll never be able to understand, and he never makes a mistake. None of this is possible unless we know the Lord, because it is not natural to have these responses when difficulties come. So the last truth is in the form of a question. If I find myself going through a season of difficulty right now, a season of burdens, and I'm just not coping, and it is overwhelming, and I find myself in a place of discouragement, I need to ask the question, what is the source of my discouragement? What is the source of my discontentment? Well, let me remind you that God has his timeline, God has his methods, and God has his reasons. And you know, I say this with grace and respect, but the seasons are not recoverable. They're irrevocable. Somebody complains, you know, my husband is annoying. My wife is irritating. My children are demanding. My in-laws are inquisitive. But do you realize that all of those things are temporary? They're all temporary. They're taking place now, but one day they'll pass away. I don't listen to, nor do I give mother-in-law jokes, because my mother-in-law is with the Lord, and she was a wonderful lady. And out of respect, I just don't do that. So with all of us, because I know what it's like to go through difficulties. So with all of us, our prayer must be, Lord, this is where you have placed me now. Help me to be grateful. Help me to be joyful. And help me to be expectant on the blessings that you have for me, even in this. because this thing is from you. Not easy, not natural. Matter of fact, this is something that has to be learned in the power of the Holy Spirit. And Paul attributed that to his own life in the book of Philippians. He said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." I don't have everything I want, but I'm content with what you've given me. And this is how I've defined contentment. It's the best that I can come up with. It's acceptance of and satisfaction with my condition, my situation, and my circumstances. When David was going through difficulty, he wrote this, and this is why the book of Psalms is such a blessing to us. He said, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. I will cry unto God most high, unto God that performeth all these things for me." Psalm 57, 1 and 2. You know, there is a renowned American author by the name of David Foster Wallace. Extremely successful. But he battled depression for over 20 years and ultimately took his life, unfortunately. Now, years before that, he was asked the question about what being an American was like in the 20th century. And this was his answer. "It's a stomach-level sadness which manifests itself as a kind of lostness." Isn't that a sad commentary? But let me tell you this. The night that I got saved, I had two senses of awareness immediately as I asked the Lord to save me. The first one was that my sins were forgiven. I just knew that when I asked the Lord to come into my heart, my sins were forgiven. I felt clean for the first time in my life. And the second acute awareness that I had was the extraordinary relief from a feeling of lostness. Finally, my life had purpose and direction and meaning. I didn't understand everything and I didn't know the Bible, but I knew what Jesus had done for me. I understood that when he died on that cross, he died in my place. And when I asked him to come into my heart, I didn't feel anything or see anything, but I knew he did. Because the Bible says, if you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. And my life changed. I'm sure I've told you this story before, but I wasn't in church when I got saved. I was at a New Year's Eve party. And somebody had put a Bible in my duffel bag. I was in the military. And I'd been reading the Bible because my life had spiraled out of control. So here I am in this party, and the music is blaring, and it's dark, and everybody is boogieing in there. And somebody rubs up against the wall where the switch was. And the light comes on, and everybody does this. And immediately the Holy Spirit brought back to my memory a verse that I had read that week from John chapter 3. "Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil." And that thing smote me right in my heart. And I got up from where I was. I went outside. I went into my friend's car. And I bowed my head and asked the Lord to come into my heart. And then I went back inside and I said, "Listen, you take me home. I don't want to be here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." Salvation is supernatural. It's not something that you and I can understand. And I know what it is to go through difficulty, but once I got a grasp of how God works with human beings, my goal now is to rest in the Lord Jesus and embrace every season that he places in my life, always anticipating the blessings of God in my life as he fulfills his will through me. One of my favorite hymns is "Does Jesus Care?" Does Jesus care when my heart is filled with all that sadness and woe? Oh yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days grow weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father, this morning I give you thanks for your word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Paul says, be careful or be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thank you for helping us to understand how to navigate life. It's not easy, but you give us direction and guidance and comfort and peace. And then the Bible tells us that you give us all that we need for the instruction of righteousness. Thank you for the precious word of God. May it be an integral part of our lives on a daily basis. For those who have raised their hands this morning, Lord, you know their lives intimately. Each one that raised their hand for a specific reason. Meet those needs, I ask. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
On behalf of everyone at Beacon Baptist Church, we thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your heart and life has been impacted through the biblical truths of this message. If you have questions or would like more information, please contact us through our website at beaconbaptistchurch.org. That's beaconbaptistchurch.org. May the Lord bless you.